Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Who own it? You own it, Democrats. So do you guys remember? Well, let's take a step back here. So I did not get a chance to watch the back and forth. Apparently, things got a little heated in the Montana State Senate yesterday. I did not get a chance to watch the full back and forth. But, yeah, I was getting some messages from some of you guys, some of our listeners saying, hey, are you watching what's going on in the Montana State Senate right now? And no, I was not watching the back and forth. I'm seeing some of the articles here today. Let's see, what was one of them that I just pulled up here? There was a story how it was saying, heated debate. And so basically, here's what ended up happening is the read that I'm getting here is that the Democrats ruled in support of one Republican to bail him out of an ethics charge, of an ethics complaint here. So it's kind of like, wow, well, okay, if there truly is something wrong with the ethics involved, with the way this, you know, contract was given out, with your taxpayer dollars, if there's something wrong with it, well, Democrats own it now. I mean, isn't it interesting here? So you've got a Republican who has been accused, and the Lee newspapers, they've been reporting this all over the place. And so they've basically been putting the spotlight on this ethics investigation over Republican State Senator Jason Ellsworth and whether this contract was unethically handed out to a business a friend of his. And whether they followed the process, et cetera. And so it's interesting. So you would think the Montana Democrats, who are desperate to have some sort of a narrative, desperate to have something to talk about, desperate to have some way to bash the Republicans, you would think that they would have, you know, led the charge to attack this guy. But remember, this Republican state senator is the former Senate president who teamed up with a handful of other Republicans to vote against their elected Republican caucus leadership. And they voted with the Democrats to change the rules. And some argued to undermine the rest of their Republican caucus. So look at the bind that the Democrats are in here. It's like, wow, they would love to attack a Republican over an ethics investigation that's all over the news. But they can't attack this guy because this is the guy that they teamed up with to undermine the Republican leadership under a Republican-controlled state Senate. So anyway, one of the headlines here is ethics panel on Ellsworth's contract investigating potential criminal violation. And then another headline is this: Montana Senate votes to delay Ellsworth's ethics investigation and refer to the Department of Justice. So they punted this off to the Department of Justice, and now there's questions as if the Montana DOJ can even handle a complaint like this. So anyway, thought that was pretty interesting. All right, let's see. Quick break. Back after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, a winter weather advisory continuing for Bozeman, a winter storm warning for Billings. For Bozeman, expecting 2 to 4 inches of daytime snowfall, but for Billings, around 5 inches of accumulation expected, will have highs in the lower teens. Any lingering snow tapering off early on this evening, lows into the single digits below zero. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Securing America.
Most of us don't think about rocks and minerals when it comes to national security, but they do help build everything from bullets to lithium batteries. The good news is the U.S. has plenty of minerals available. The bad news is the country doesn't mine them anymore. We import, which is an issue a House Natural Resources Subcommittee looked at during a hearing Thursday. Arkansas Republican Bruce Westerman.
Because many of the nations upon which we rely, like China, are not allies, our mineral dependency presents a serious national security threat.
Witness McKinsey Lyon used the metal antimony, which is used in night vision goggles and nuclear weapons production, as an example.
In 2021, China was able to cut off America's sole supply of military spec antimony trisulfide for the Department of Defense.
Witnesses testified that without increased mining, defense readiness may suffer long-term damage. Kevin Ritz, Fox News.
Hey, so we've got a story on our Montana Talks website, St. Patrick's Day. Really, it's right around the corner, if you can believe it. They're looking for your nominees for a grand marshal. Here's who I would nominate. Tommy O'Neill, the brother of Butte Navy SEAL Rob O'Neill. He's on the radio in Butte. Great guy. So anyway, the story's on our Montana Talks website if you want to help a brother out. Plus, you can reel in some Montana trout and reel in cash. That's an interesting story. It's all there, MontanaTalks.com.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I was trying to catch up on some of the latest news. I guess, yeah, here I go. I'm late on my show prep once again. I was going to scan the Fox News radio headlines here this morning. I haven't got a chance to do that yet, but I was listening in to Fox and Friends, and I was, you know, trying to figure out what's going on with the news. It sounds like it was another all-nighter in the United States Senate. Democrats are doing everything they can to obstruct, well, yeah, justice too. But no, they're doing everything they can to try to stop or slow down President Trump's nominees from getting confirmed. And so they've been doing these all-night filibusters. So apparently they were going, late into the morning here in the overnight. And so I was hoping to hear a little bit more about that, but it was like Fox and Friends. It was like all Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl. And I'm like, okay, Lottie freaking die. I just don't care about the Super Bowl as much as I used to ever since the NFL started going woke. And, and maybe they're getting better now. If not, Donald Trump will help them get better. But I'm just like, man, I freaking don't care to hear that much about the Super Bowl. But anyway, yesterday, late in the morning, I got a chance to catch up with Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. And we were talking about how not just this past night, but the night before, there they were late into the evening working and fighting to get President Trump's nominees across the finish line. And so, you know, I was joking with him. Hey, you know what it's like to get 2 hours of sleep or 4 hours of sleep when you're in the middle of a fight overseas. So, hey, you got no problem getting a couple hours of sleep or whatever for this important fight to save America.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The most important thing is we can't let obstructionism slow down the will of the American people. I mean, that's what we're seeing. That's what this election was about, was the will of the people being expressed. And we're not going to let anything come in the way of stopping that.
You know, it's amazing. It was just a little over 2 weeks ago we caught up with you. We got to see you on Capitol Hill when we did our show from the House side over at Congressman Zinke's office. And just a little over 2 weeks, look at everything President Trump has been getting across the finish line thus far. What's been standing out to you here, especially as a newly elected senator?
Well, one of the great things we're seeing is just immediate action across the board. Cabinet nominees, when they get in place, are instantly starting to take control and get things done. So, I mean, we're seeing Kristi Noem all over the country helping with deportations and getting border security going. And, of course, unfortunately, we've seen Sean Duffy, his first day in office, tragic plane crash, third day in office, another plane crash. And it shows the reason why we have to get these folks in place, because we live in a high-risk world, and these departments are important, and we need people there running them so the American people can have their economy running and they can be safe.
Yeah, I tell you what, one of the things I saw yesterday from Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, a fellow combat veteran like you, me, and over 100,000 other, you know, Montanans here, well, at least veterans anyway. So great to see Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth on the job, focusing on securing our borders as well. But these recruitment numbers, I mean, as predicted, I was on a TV show with why am I spacing his name all of a sudden? And this wasn't a hard prediction to make. I said, look, with Donald Trump getting elected president, and then you get a SecDef like Pete Hegseth in there, a warrior's warrior, we're going to see recruitment and retention numbers climb. I think Hegseth just said that this January for the U.S. Army's recruitment, it's the best recruitment numbers in 15 years.
That's exactly right. And once again, it just shows that we've been getting lied to for the last 4 years. They've been telling us that this recruiting crisis was because of labor shortage. It was about, you know, pay. It was about we didn't have enough eligible kids. Kids are too fat. Kids are too lazy. You know, all these excuses. Every single quarter, we'd get excuse after excuse after excuse from Secretary Austin, the DOD, about, you know, there's not enough patriotism. There's not enough pride. There's not enough this and that. And the reality is no one wanted to serve under the Joe Biden military, where DEI was above combat lethality. They didn't want to go fight in war like you and I did in Afghanistan and then watch Joe Biden pull us out and dishonor that sacrifice and get killed for nothing. So now they feel that America's back. They feel that, you know, they can join up and actually serve their country instead of serve DEI and you know, all these inclusive ideologies we've had to listen to the last few years. So like so many of these issues, we've been lied to for the last few years, and now we're seeing truth come out. And I mean, USAID is a perfect example. You know, the American people are now realizing USAID has been spewing billions of dollars around the world, giving it to our enemies, and in some cases, you know, paying actors millions of dollars, you know, to go to other countries. I mean, it's crazy. When we're in a fiscal crisis in this country, we're being told there's not enough money to fight fires and protect our cities from wildfire like LA. We're being told we don't have enough funds to secure the border. We're being told we don't have enough funds, you know, to provide aid to hurricane victims in Western North Carolina. Yet now we're seeing, well, apparently we have plenty of money to pay for transgender lessons in Africa. We have plenty of money to pay for drag shows in Europe. We have plenty of money to send billions of dollars to other countries, many of which are terrorist safe havens who want to kill us. So I think the truth is coming out. Every day we're learning more, and America's back.
Yeah, anyway, great conversation there with Senator Sheehy. The full audio on the Montana Talks podcast. You can find it on the Montana Talks app or on Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, et cetera. But, hey, funny sidebar. So, you know, USAID, all these liberal media outlets were getting subsidized through the USAID money, your taxpayer dollars laundered through the USAID and then put in the pockets of these liberal media outlets. Funny sidebar. So there was this very liberal reporter for the Huffington Puffington Post, as Rush would always refer to them. Apparently, he lost his job. Anyway, so David, this was the same liberal reporter that ran with all these BS phony hit pieces on Tim Sheehy, Senator Tim Sheehy, I might add. Anyway, David Noble and I had a fun back and forth on X. We were wondering, maybe his USAID Somalia contract ran out of funds, and that's why the Huffington Puffington guy got fired.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Montanans have a stake in the future of Medicare, perhaps more than most states. Almost 250,000 of us receive benefits from the program, a higher fraction of the population than all but four other states. For many hospitals and healthcare providers, 50% or more of revenues come from Medicare reimbursements. The fact that no elected officials want to talk about the giant program's fiscal imbalances don't make them go away. The fact that Medicare spending is growing faster than the economy, almost twice as fast last year, means that we can't grow our way out of it. Action is needed, but what? The familiar action is cost-cutting directed from above. It makes for great press conferences and impressive legislation, but it's proved utterly ineffective in the past. Remember electronic medical records that were supposed to save money? The road not taken, as Robert Frost would say, is market-based reform. It's toxic, but maybe we should take a look. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. AM radio isn't going anywhere so long as Senate Commerce Committee Chairman Ted Cruz and Democratic Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey have something to say about it. Cruz and Markey authored legislation to keep AM radio in all vehicles. It's called the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act. They argue that AM radio informs listeners and supports live local communications during emergencies, disasters, and bad weather. There have been efforts to strip AM radio from cars for years, long after FM took over. And now, long after drivers stream radio, play their own music, or rely on satellites to bypass local stations. Markey argued that AM radio stations were critical in disseminating information during the wildfires which recently devastated Southern California. If enacted, the bill requires the Department of Transportation to mandate all new vehicles have access to AM radio frequencies, and that's at no additional cost to the consumers. It also requires car companies comply with a four-year window. A similar piece of legislation died in the last Congress. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, National Farmers Union, along with RCAF USA and four fed cattle producers who filed a class action antitrust lawsuit in April of 2019 against JBS, Tyson, Cargill, and National Beef, have filed a motion with the Federal District Court for the District of Minnesota for preliminary approval of a proposed $83.5 million class action settlement with the JBS defendants. Now, if the court grants preliminary approval of the proposed settlement, it'll order that notice to be sent to the settlement classes informing them of the proposed settlement details, including how class members can make a claim for their share of the settlement. Rocky Mountain Farmers Union President Chad Franke out of Wyoming says that addressing competition in agriculture remains a top priority for Farmers Union for both producers and consumers.
Yeah, you know, fairness and transparency in the commodity markets is a big deal. And like you said, the consolidation that's happened over the decades is a big issue. Obviously, it affects our farmers and ranchers. We have a tough time getting fair and transparent pricing on a lot of stuff. And it also, like you said, it affects the consumers. You know, the consumers are the end user of the products that we start with. And we need to make sure that everybody along the supply chain makes enough money. You know, everybody's got to make money or the businesses go under, but it's tough to know what's right and what's wrong and who's making too much money. But we are pleased to see that this lawsuit, the National Farmers Union, RCAF, and some cattle producers filed is gaining traction, and we're pleased with this settlement.
Now, more details regarding the settlement, including who may be covered by its terms, will be available shortly on a settlement website, cattleantitrustsettlement.com. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Join Sandhill Red Angus on Tuesday, March 4th at Sydney Livestock, Sydney, Montana, where they will be selling 90 Red Angus bulls and a tremendous set of females as they're offering 75 red bred heifers and 75 first calf pairs. Red heifers will weigh 1,050 to 1,100 pounds and will be sorted for a one-cycle calving period. Pairs will all have AI calves at side and be ready for delivery mid-April to the 1st of May. It's the Sandhill Red Angus sale Tuesday, March 4th. Bid online with Frontier Live Sale. Visit sandhillredangus.com for more.
Planting season is approaching, and the Northern Pulse Growers Association reminds producers to consider making pulses part of their cropping decisions. Why plant pulses? Pulses offer both financial and agronomic benefits. They act as a natural fertilizer, fixing atmospheric nitrogen into the soil, reducing the need for nitrogen fertilizers, and continue fixing atmospheric nitrogen into the soil for the following crop. Additionally, pulses have a low carbon footprint, making them a sustainable choice for agriculture. Make pulses part of your crop rotation. Learn more at northernpulse.com.
Well, on Thursday, Mexico repealed its ban on genetically modified corn imports from the U.S. after losing an arbitration ruling under the USMCA in December. Mexico declared ineffective two sets of measures that the U.S. trade representatives successfully challenged in the dispute, including an immediate ban on the use of GM corn in dough, tortillas, and an instruction to the Mexican government agencies to gradually eliminate the use of GM corn for other food uses and in animal feed. Keep in mind, Mexico was the largest market for U.S. corn last year alone. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint
Oh, man, I was checking in on social media there for a second. I wanted to see if anybody replied to my comment on the CNN Facebook page. No, not that CNN. The CNN, Crow Nation News. Crow Nation News out there on the Crow Nation, on the Crow Reservation. This was kind of funny. So they had a report, good report. It was Interior Secretary Doug Burgum, President Trump's new Secretary of the Interior, who was governor of North Dakota, of course, very successful in the private sector prior to that. Anyway, in this story, he was basically explaining the fact that, look, when we're ending all this woke DEI garbage, that doesn't change anything at the Department of Interior with regard to how we work with tribal nations and tribal energy projects and federal lands issues, et cetera. That's not woke. Working with tribal nations is not woke. That's what we should be doing, right? Especially when it comes to, you know, energy development and things like this, right? And so he was explaining that common sense idea. But anyway, on CNN, on the Crow Nation News, the story was about, you know, how Doug Burgum says that, you know, that Indian country is exempt from the, you know, whatever they're doing away with regard to DEI. And then somebody commented on the Crow Nation News Facebook page. They said, quick, somebody adopt him into a tribe, quick. And so I just couldn't resist. I said, well, that didn't work out so well with Obama. Yeah, remember that? Remember when... And look, they were just trying to have some access. They were thinking, okay, this Obama guy's probably going to win the presidential election. Hey, let's adopt him into the tribe, and maybe he'll help a brother out. Well, Obama did not help a brother out. In fact, he screwed over the Crow tribe during his presidency, didn't he? So, yeah, it didn't work out so well with Obama. But don't worry, you don't have to adopt the Trump cabinet members into the tribe. I'm sure they would, you know, it would be an incredible honor, right? I'm sure they would be greatly honored by that. But you don't have to adopt them into the tribe to get better policies for Indian country, to get more support for tribal energy projects and things like that. The Trump team will do it because it's the right thing to do. Anyway, I got a kick out of that. CNN Facebook post, because speaking of CNN, CNN, bad CNN, not Crow Nation News, the other CNN, you know, Ted Turner's outfit, Jane Fonda's outfit. So bad CNN, the tears are flowing. They were interviewing one of these U.S. Agency for International Development employees. Oh, I'm losing my job. It's so awful. Jesse Waters had a great response to that. We'll get to here in 60 seconds. Oh, anyway, since we just had the Farm and Ranch report, though, did you guys hear that Beyonce won the award for Best Country Album of the Year? While I was listening to the Farm and Ranch report there from our friends at the Western Ag Network just a few minutes ago, I was going to go pop onto Facebook and see if anybody replied to my Barack Obama a comment on the Crow Nation News Facebook page. And then I ended up spotting this. So I told you how, what did they have, the Grammys last? I mean, I care even less about the Grammys than I do about the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl, it's fun because of the Super Bowl parties and getting together with friends, and maybe there's a couple good commercials or two. And I do love football. I'd rather watch high school and college football anymore, you know, because of the wokeness that the NFL has the woke virus that they've been infected by over the years. But they're probably getting better now. But anyway, it's residual. While I popped onto Facebook, I saw this hilarious Big Sky Memes of Montana. It's a funny Facebook page, Big Sky Memes of Montana. And you guys heard that Beyonce got, what, Country Album of the Year? Yeah, that could be the Oh For Pete's Sake moment of the week. And look, we don't need to pile on to Beyonce. I get it. Nobody likes her politics. But, you know, you can disagree with somebody's politics and still like their music. And likewise, you can not like their music even if you like their politics. But anyway, we all love George Strait, don't we? Big Sky Memes of Montana shared this funny meme. Congratulations, George Strait. Hip Hop Artist of the Year 2025. I got a kick out of that one. All right, let's see. CNN. Again, not Crow Nation News, but the bad CNN, Ted Turner and Jane Fonda's CNN. Jesse Waters just laid in to CNN. Oh, you know, here we go. CNN is interviewing these USAID bureaucrats who've been mismanaging and laundering your taxpayer dollars into their buddies' pockets and then pushing all this woke garbage all over the world. But CNN, you know, they want to offer up the microphone. Anyway, listen to what Jesse Waters had to say last night.
CNN just laid off hundreds of employees to cut costs because their books aren't balanced, because no one's watching them. No one's interviewing fired CNN staff, not even Don Lemon. Getting fired isn't a war crime. I've been fired 4 times. And thank God, because it turned out all right. Since when has CNN cared about people losing their jobs? They didn't weep when Biden waxed the Keystone Pipeline workers. CNN's been trying to get everybody fired at Fox for years. If CNN doesn't like what you say, they call your boss, they call your advertisers, they try to bankrupt you and boycott you. Random Americans who crack jokes on Facebook, CNN was putting them on blast, trying to get them canceled. CNN cheered on Biden for firing army officers who didn't get vaxxed. Guys who are willing to die for this country. CNN said, good, get them out of here. CNN's boss can lay off people. Why can't Trump?
Yeah, great point. You know, if CNN is at financial risk, so they got to lay people off. Our federal government, $36 trillion in debt, is in financial risk. They need to lay people off, too.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I finally took a couple of minutes, did a quick scan of the Fox News radio headlines. Obviously, we get a few of their headlines at the top and the bottom of the hour. But this was the story that I was basically looking for, because we want cash. We want cash. I mean, now, cash money would be nice, too. Cash money, dollars, bills, great. Hey, we'll take some cash money. We want Cash Patel confirmed as the FBI director. That's what this really had to do with. There was an overnight vote for President Trump's OMB director, I believe. I believe it's Office of Management and Budget Director. Russell, is it Vought? I think Vought is how you pronounce his last name. Anyway, and the Democrats were throwing their overnight temper tantrum. And they claimed that it was about, you know, Vought and Project 2025. That's the latest screeching shrill from, you know, the Sea Witch protesters out there. Project 2025. Oh, give me a break. Just shut up and wear your masks. Nobody cares about you and your Project 2025. Whatever. But anyway, I'll play the report here. Didn't get a chance to listen to it myself yet, but I was trying to, all I was getting was Super Bowl news, Super Bowl news, Super Bowl. I want real news. Well, we're going to see the Super Bowl on Sunday. I want actual news of what's going on here, because we want Cash Patel confirmed as FBI director. But that's why Democrats have been trying to slow down the process for all of these other nominees, because they are desperately trying to keep a government watchdog and an incredible American patriot like Cash Patel. They're trying to slow down him taking over the reins at the FBI. But anyway, here's the report here. They had an overnight vote in the United States Senate as Democrats were throwing a temper tantrum once again for another day.
In a party line vote, the Senate confirming Russell Vought to lead the Office of Management and Budget.
The yeas are 53, the nays are 47. The nomination is confirmed.
GOP Senator of Florida Ashley Moody gaveling down Democrats, speaking out during the vote. All 47 Democrats protesting the nomination, holding the Senate floor throughout the previous night, calling Vought the president's most dangerous nominee, citing as helping to write the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025 policies, and outrage over the OMB releasing a since rescinded memo last week to freeze funding for federal grants. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Yeah, in reality, it wasn't about, slowing down the vote for Russell. Vote. There we go. We got the correct pronunciation of his name there. This is about what they're really afraid of is Kash Patel ending the weaponization of government and draining the swamp at the FBI. So that's why they're slow walking this one. They know that this whole Project 2025 thing is just like such an absurd sideshow. This is them trying to block Kash Patel. All right, let's see. Where do we go next here? Man, we got a whole bunch of great audio we could share with you, a whole bunch of great stuff to talk about. Since I was talking about the Super Bowl and how I just don't get excited about the NFL anymore. I mean, like I used to, because I'm just kind of like, after all the woke garbage they were pushing, it's like, you know what? Who cares? All right, see you guys later. And it's fun getting together with friends for the Super Bowl and things like that. But I mentioned, hey, I like, I'd rather watch high school football and college football, especially, the Cats and the Grizz here in Montana and, things like that. Rocky, Carroll, Tech, you name it, right? But then again, like, we've got to make the NCAA great again as well. We've got to make the NCAA great again. In fact, Donald Trump is already doing just that. This incredible move by President Trump this week, standing up for women's sports and basically blocking men from being able to take away women's opportunities in women's sports and boys taking away opportunities from girls in girls' sports, it's huge. And it's already having implications. Listen to this story about the NCAA. Because remember, the NCAA has been pushing this transgender nonsense. The NCAA has fully been a part of and has been pushing this transgender nonsense, denying opportunities to women and girls. But now the NCAA is apparently going to start making the NCAA great again.
Moving forward, only college athletes who were born female can take part in women's sports. NCAA President Charlie Baker credited President Donald Trump and his executive order signed Wednesday banning biological males from women's sports for setting a clear national standard. Previously, the NCAA used an individual sports national or international governing body's rules to establish who can participate. Those rules do still allow men to practice with or against women's teams, which is not uncommon across the country. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
All right, there you go. So that is a major update. Yeah, it's been such a travesty that the NCAA has been pushing that type of stuff. But I also think that the other side is starting to get it. I think the other side has finally figured out people do not support this Adam Schiff. I mean, think about the last legislative session 2 years ago, and you had some of these, woke hospitals, trying to basically stand in the way of this, of efforts to protect kids from this radical transgender nonsense. And it'd just be interesting to see, or maybe some of you that are serving in the legislature could tell us here. I wonder if they've finally woken up from their woke state of mind and realized people do not like this Adam Schiff. People are ticked off at what they're trying to do to kids and these opportunities they're trying to take away from women and girls. Not just trying, they've actually done it. And I just wonder if some of the people who would stand in the way of efforts to protect kids or would outright advocate for this radical transgender nonsense, I wonder if now they've kind of woken up and they're saying, you know what, we are not going to go to bat for that nonsense again this legislative session. I just wonder. It might be interesting to see, because I'm certainly not seeing some of the same folks that were outspoken on those topics during the last legislative session being that outspoken now. All right, one other thing, and then we'll sneak in a phone call before we get to the break and the legislative update. One other thing, what's the latest with this federal buyout? We had Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio on the show yesterday. They now believe that 40,000 federal employees have already agreed to take this buyout offer. I mean, talk about a way to save billions of dollars. Here it is. Here's the latest from Peter Ducey.
The White House is also now on the receiving end of a federal lawsuit from a dozen states who are trying to stop Elon Musk and his small team of Doge engineers from accessing the personal information of federal employees. As Doge engineers continue pouring over federal spending, federal workers now have an extra 4 days to mull over a buyout offer. The White House press secretary says, "We are grateful to the judge for extending the deadline so more federal workers who refuse to show up to the office can take the administration up on this very generous once-in-a-lifetime offer."
Yeah, 40,000, I think, is the number that I saw. The latest number that we're hearing. All right, we can talk about that story and more coming up later in the 7 o'clock hour. Before we get to the break, let's go to Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Montana Talks family. Since this is Freedom Friday, I'm going to go back to the end of World War II, when all this U.S. aid began and all of our manufacturing jobs were starting to be spread out around the world. And let me tell you how I feel about Doge and President Trump and Elon Musk. They're taking us out of servitude, out of slavery to the rest of the world. I have felt like a slave my whole life, like the world's ATM machine, and I'm sick of it. And I'm sure everyone listening is sick of it, too. So that's how I feel about it, and I just want to just quickly say this. We're out of money. And these 2 million federal workers have to realize this. We just don't have the money for their jobs, and they're going to have to sacrifice in order to save our country. And as far as, this cabinet officer that just won, this Russell Vance, right away the Democrats are saying the 2025 project. He's going to cut Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security. Nobody can do that. That's political suicide. They have been using that excuse ever since they stole the election from Arizona Senator Republican Barry Goldwater in 1964. They have used that lie. Americans, please don't believe that. No,
yeah, I think nobody's falling for that one anymore. They're so tired of hearing that same old Adam Schiff. Nancy, great to hear from you. Dylan in Lodgegrass said this on our Montana Talks app. Speaking of USAID, didn't that slush fund send millions and millions of dollars over however much time to Pakistan while they allowed bin Laden to live a life of luxury while you and your fellow soldiers were in Afghanistan searching the mountain caves for him? Also, in the early 2000s, money was sent to Bolivia and Venezuela, among others, while their Russian and Cuban puppet administration spewed hate for America.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The Biden administration allowed all these unvetted Biden-Harris illegals into the country. Didn't do a thing, including terrorists, murderers, rapists, cartel members, gang members. Unbelievable. She also, Pam Bondi did, lifted the death penalty ban, and she cracked down on sanctuary cities, ordering the DOJ to pause all of their federal funding. Now, why would you pause the federal funding of sanctuary cities and states? Because they're aiding and abetting in lawbreaking. Now we're finding out from Tom Homan, I couldn't believe it when, I heard him say this, that members of the Tren de Aragua gang were tipped off that there was going to be an ICE raid. Well, I want to get to the bottom of who tipped them off.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
This great country was founded on freedom, and that was freedom from a country that forced us to buy overpriced tea and then tried blockading us when we dumped their tea into the ocean. How'd that work out for them? Well, it's time now to throw out your overpriced big wireless contract, throw it overboard. My friends at Pure Talk, my cell phone company, says no to inflated prices. And with a qualifying plan of just $45 a month, you can choose a free iPhone 14 or a free Samsung Galaxy. And yes, this is for premium service. You get unlimited talk, unlimited text, 25 gigs of data, mobile hotspot. You get all of it at a fraction of the price of AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile. Also, they use the same 5G network. So get your free iPhone 14 or your Samsung Galaxy. You simply dial #250. You say the keyword Pure Talk and check in with Pure Talk and their U.S. customer service team and make the switch. #250. Keyword Pure Talk from Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman.
For today, a winter weather advisory continuing for Bozeman, a winter storm warning for Billings. For Bozeman, expecting 2 to 4 inches of daytime snowfall, but for Billings, around 5 inches of accumulation expected, and with highs in the lower teens. Any lingering snow tapering off early on this evening, lows into the single digits below zero. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. Pretty obvious, right? You think different, talk different, but if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council. Zip.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laslofsky.
Yesterday in House Judiciary, we heard House Joint Resolution 9, a resolution supporting Israel's right to exist and condemning anti-Semitism and terrorist attacks on the Jewish state. The opponents to the resolution proved my point. Anti-Semitism is alive and well in Montana. After testifying as a proponent, I sat back and listened to 9 witnesses come forward to oppose the bill. All of them said they oppose anti-Semitism and support Israel's right to exist, but, and there's the key word, but. They then went on, each in their own way, to describe how much of the blame for the terror attacks on Israel is somehow Israel's fault. They talked about the number of civilians killed in Gaza, all the while forgetting that of the 1,200 Israelis killed on October 7th by Hamas terrorists, 766 were civilians, while 373 were military. Israel went out of its way to warn civilians to leave areas and buildings that were targeted. Unfortunately, collateral damage is part of war. In this case, the collateral damage was even higher because Hamas placed rocket launchers and command and control bunkers under hospitals and schools in direct violation of the Geneva Convention. Opponents of the bill also talked about the lack of food and clean water for the people of Gaza. Food was an issue because aid trucks crossing the border from Egypt were seized by Hamas terrorists and their cargoes confiscated. The terrorists shot civilians who tried to intervene, and innocent people went hungry. The issue of adequate water has plagued Gaza for years because Hamas uses water pipes and signpost pipe to build rockets. One of the most disturbing parts of yesterday's testimony was the way nearly every opponent accused Israel of genocide. Ironically, the term genocide didn't even exist until 1944 and was first used to describe what the Nazis did to the Jews. By definition, genocide is the deliberate and systematic destruction of a group of people because of their ethnicity, nationality, race, or religion. In this case, the accusations of genocide against Israel are baseless. You don't warn people to get out of the way before bombing if genocide is your goal. Another accusation is that Israel is expansionary, gobbling up other people's land to expand their borders. They pointed to the size of Israel at the time of the UN partition plan when Israel was created in 1948 versus the size of the country now, all the while forgetting that the major expansions in territory were the result of wars when Israel was attacked by the neighboring Arab countries. We're talking about the first attack that came literally the day after Israel became a nation, the Six-Day War in 1967 and the Yom Kippur War in 1973. At the end of the Yom Kippur War, there was nothing to stop Israel from seizing Damascus, Syria, but they chose not to because it was more territory than they could effectively manage. Another point that argues against expansionism is the fact that they returned the Sinai Peninsula to Egypt in 1982 and the Gaza Strip to the Palestinian Authority in 1994. In 2007, Hamas terrorists massacred their Arab brothers and seized control of Gaza from the Palestinian Authority. Is Israel completely innocent and pure as the driven snow? Definitely not. None of my Israeli friends would say that they are, but they live in a tough part of the world surrounded by enemies who have threatened to wipe them off the face of the earth. As a nation, they fight every day for their survival and have done so for the past 77 years. It's time that Israel's enemies lay down their arms, accept Israel's right to exist, and turn to peaceful coexistence rather than war. As Israeli Prime Minister Golda Meir once said, we can forgive the Arabs for killing our children. We cannot forgive them for forcing us to kill their children. We will only have peace with the Arabs when they love their children more than they hate us. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, thanks to Jeff Laszlofy for that update. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show on this Freedom Friday, we're going to look at the bright side with Becky. Becky Hillier back with us here. Always fun to catch up with Becky Hillier. She's going to give us some stories in the news that look at the bright side of things. So stand by.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Montanans have a stake in the future of Medicare, perhaps more than most states. Almost a quarter million of us receive benefits from the program, a higher fraction of the population than all but four other states. For many hospitals and healthcare providers, 50% or more of revenues come from Medicare reimbursements. The fact that no elected officials want to talk about the giant program's fiscal imbalances don't make them go away. The fact that Medicare spending is growing faster than the economy, almost twice as fast last year, means that we can't grow our way out of it. Action is needed, but what? The familiar action is cost-cutting directed from above. It makes for great press conferences and impressive legislation, but it's proved utterly ineffective in the past. Remember electronic medical records that were supposed to save money? The road not taken, as Robert Frost would say, is market-based reform. It's toxic, but maybe we should take a look. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.